Hello, all, and welcome to the RESERVE May teleconference held on the 19th of May 2020 at 1900 UTC. Dwayne, over to you.
All right. Thanks and welcome everyone to our May meeting. We'll start off with a quick roll call, please. Danielle?
From the SAC, Jeff Houston.
Hi.
RSAC, Brad Baird.
Hello.
ASO, Carlos Martinez, I note is not on the call. IETF, Jim Reed, I note is not on the call. GNSO Registry Stakeholder Group, Howard Eland.
Hi.
CCNSO, Peter Koch.
Yes, I'm here.
VeriSign as the RZM, Dwayne Wessels.
Yes.
ICANN Board, Kaveh Ranjbar.
Yes.
And representing PTI, Kim Davies.
Hi.
And then for ICANN support staff, we have myself, Danielle Rutherford. Dwayne, over to you.
Okay, thanks, and welcome everyone. So the agenda you have on the screen here and in your email, anyone have comments or amendments to the agenda at this point? All right, so we'll proceed. The first thing to do today is to review or approve the minutes from our February meeting. And prior to the call, Danielle and I were sort of commiserating about why it's been so long since we've met. February was our last meeting. In March, we had a couple of conflicts, I believe. One of them was my scheduled vacation, which did not happen. And then there was also the IETF meeting. And then in April, we elected to postpone because there was, to be honest, there's a lot going on with key signing ceremonies and other things. And so here we are now in May. I hope everyone's had a chance to look at the minutes from February and review for corrections. Would anyone like to have any comments or corrections on the minutes at this point? Okay, unless there are objections, then we can take the minutes as approved, and Danielle can post them to the website at her convenience. Okay, thanks everyone. So the meeting today, really we have a couple of work items to consider. These are proposals for work that RZERC may or may not want to take on. I've sent some PDF files describing these two projects. One is adding some protections to root zone content, and the second one is signing of the rootservers.net zone. So I think you could consider these as sort of draft proposals, and mostly, you know, I'd like to discuss whether or not this work is appropriate for RZERC, whether RZERC should take this on. And you know, if you think these sort of draft proposals are sort of going in the right direction here, this is really kind of the first time RZERC has considered work brought from the committee itself. There's been a couple of times where work has come in externally, but this is the first sort of internal work, and hopefully we got most of the things right. So let's start with the first one, introducing root zone data protections. I won't necessarily read the whole thing, but the gist of this is that it seems that the root zone continues to get a lot of attention, and people are talking about things like hyperlocal root, and we have RFC 7706, which has even gone through a second revision. And the expectation is that the root zone is going to be distributed far and wide, even more so than it currently is. And what we'd like to see is some protections to ensure that root zone data that gets distributed and loaded matches the data as it was published by the Root Zone maintainer. Can you scroll down a little bit in the proposal, Danielle? So the document here just sort of goes into more detail about that, reasons why we think that such data integrity is important. Talks a little bit about how there are some protections today that are in use between the Root Zone maintainer and the Root Server operators. Also where those fall short in sort of a broader distribution of the Root Zone. Talks a little bit about DNSSEC and again why that is not the ideal solution for what we're trying to achieve here. And then sort of ends up mentioning the there's an internet draft of which I am a co-author. It's called Zone MD, and this is a proposal by myself and others for a new record type that can go into any zone, not just the Root Zone, for adding cryptographic protections to zone data. So sort of the ask of RZERC is to consider both the general problem of adding these protections and also the specific proposal of Zone MD. So with that summary, I'll open it up for discussion or questions if anyone has some. Hey, Jim, welcome. I see your hand is up, but you're muted still. Jim, you're still muted. I can't hear you. I'm going to move on to Peter, and we'll get back to you, Jim, if you get the microphone figured out. Peter?
Yeah, thanks, Dwayne. First of all, I think it's great that something is brought forward in front of the committee from within the committee, and we are no longer in desperate need of seeking something to discuss and to like shape the tasks of the committee and so on and so forth. With the proposal at hand, I have only ephemerally followed the MD record discussion in the IETF, so I claim no knowledge of detail there. What I'm wondering here is, I understand the excuse me, I understand the hyper-local part, but there's also another field of application, which is demonstrating that no records have been removed or something. Is that a request that is like more, is there an evidence, has that happened in real life? Or is that something that you foresee and want safeguards against? And then my second question is, since we're still struggling a bit with the mission, the technical parts of this will be addressed in the IETF, and I believe the consequences for root operations will definitely be dealt with by RSEC. My reading of the charter was that, yeah, we need to look at the problem and whether all the affected parties did have a say. So what is the exact ask of the committee here? Thank you.
Okay. So I'll take a stab at answering those two questions. So for the first, you asked about, and somewhere in here it talks about detecting additions and removals of Root Zone data. And no, that is not something that's happened. The reason that I included that is because it's something that RSEC has been discussing a little bit in the context of this metrics doc that we recently published, and that I was a co-chair on that work party. So in that work party document, it describes root server system metrics that can be performed and how to do those. And you know, one of those is to sort of ensure that root server operators are you know, serving what they're supposed to be serving. And there's, for example, there's a check in there that if you send it a query for something that's supposed to be returned NX domain, that it actually is returned NX domain and so on. So that's kind of where that comes from. Does that answer that question?
Yes, partly, and let me rephrase, but take a sense at it as the way you wish. When I asked, has this happened, I didn't refer to have alterations happened. The question was, were there explicit requests from outside RSEC to introduce these safeguards? It's all level 9 stuff, so on and so forth. That's just the reason I'm asking.
Yeah, to that question, I think the answer is no. That, as far as I'm aware, there have not been asks outside for something like that exactly. So the second part of your question was, can you remind me?
Oh, yeah, if I ever manage to unmute, so the role of the committee, details being discussed in the IETF in RSEC, what is the exact ask of the committee, as in oversight of all stakeholders being involved and so on and so forth, or what is it?
Yeah. So, speaking, I guess not as your chair so much here, but as you know, the root zone maintainer representative, the reason that I would bring this to RZERC is because at least the specific proposal of the zone MD draft, you know, adds a new record type to the zone. And that's an example of something that we have previously talked about as affecting the content of the zone, which is in RZERC's, you know, remit. So that's the only reason.
Okay, makes sense to me. Thank you.
So, okay, thanks, Peter. I'll get back to Jim. Your hand is up still?
Yeah, can you hear me now?
I can.
Excellent, okay. I think this is almost certainly something that's within the scope for the committee because of the fact you just mentioned, Jane. Dwayne, we're adding new resource record type to the root. However, there's a couple of other meta issues which I think probably need to get sorted out first of all. And one of them is, when is this zone ND draft ever actually going to emerge as an RSC from the IETF, which I realise is a bit lasting along as a piece of string. I think another consideration that needs to be looked at is how quickly would the existing root zone operators be in a position to implement and support this? I can remember the lengthy discussions on way, way back about adding V6 capabilities to the root and also getting DNSSEC support at all the root server operators and all the instances they had. And since those discussions, things have moved on quite a lot. And for example, I know that the ISC is now using Cloudflare to supplement their existing DNS service. Would the Cloudflare service support Zone ND? I mean, should it be in bind and it would be an NSD and whatever else? But it would it be in a commercial implementation? Or would that impact the way in which the FROOT server is actually service is being delivered? So I think we need to gauge the level of support or commitment there's going to be from the root zone operators from a timing point of view and also from the IETF before we can get down to look at this in detail. And I think another thing that might fall off the back of that is also the question of how do we maintain some kind of registry or procedure for inserting new resource records or new resource record types into the root zone, and what's going to be the process for that, the procedure for that?
Okay, thanks, Jim. So to the first question about the IETF's schedule, in my communications, so again, as a co-author, my communications with the working group chairs, they've told me that, you know, so it's gone through working group last call, and they've said that this draft is next on their list for IETF next last call. So take that. I mean, you know how this works as well as I do. So take that with a grain of salt. Hopefully it's going to proceed soon. your point about RSO supporting the record is a good one, and I think that's, you know, that's something that the committee can ask or try to find out, or we can, you know, try to find out some other way just by asking, polling the root server operators. If you'd like, you know, we can poll them before the work gets started, if you think that's important. Jeff, your hands up?
Yeah, look, on the whole, I think this is a good idea. The amount of work for the root servers, you know, the RSOs, as far as I can see, the TE record, the signed record, the zone MD record, is actually part of what's being produced by the sort of authoritative single service, and everyone else just serves that as a resource record type. And so part of the issue is, as Jim pointed out, the adoption of a new RR type in the root. But to my mind, that is not a major issue insofar as it is largely based on software as it comes out. And it doesn't matter if it's not there, it matters if it's wrong. And so to some extent, I think that the failure point is harmless. I have one question. Is it going to be signed by DNSSEC? I'm like, is it going to be treated like an NS record, or is it actually a part of the signed part of the zone and therefore covered by DNSSEC itself? My assumption is that it would be signed, but I haven't read the draft, I'm sorry. So that was just asking for a point of clarification.
Yeah, the way that the protocol works is it is authoritative data, so it is signed as all other authoritative records in the zone would be signed.
Well, in that case, my kind of response is let's do it pending the production of the standard out of the IETF and the agreement with the operators to support the resource record type. But we can't wait in a deadly wait for everyone else to make a move and then we bless it. I actually think we should be saying, yes, let's do this, and then leave it to folk who actually are going to implement the gears and devices mm-hmm. to then head down that path.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thanks, Jeff. Jim, go ahead. Check mute button, Jim.
Sorry. Damn this unmuted thing. Yeah, I kind of agree and disagree with what Jeff said. If we're talking about any other zone, to hell with it. Let's go ahead, just do it. Let's not mess about. The issue I've got really is the fact that we're dealing with the root zone, and for many, many, many people, this is treated as something very special. And I don't want us to be in the position of recommending something which other people might consider as being experimental, or that we're carrying out something which is somehow going to be prejudicial to the operation of the root server system. Now, that's certainly not the case as far as we're concerned, but I'm sure there are some people out there that will probably go and take that line. Wait a minute, there isn't an RSC for this. What's going on here?
Right, so it has always been, I see what you're saying, Jim. I think, and I don't want to put words in Jeff's mouth, he can speak for himself, but I don't think that we would see this deployed prior to an RFC being published. But I think we can, you know, do work in parallel to make it happen sort of on as good a schedule as possible. Was that it, Jim? Okay. Peter, you're next.
Yeah, thank you. And again, please excuse my total ignorance and probably also lack of preparation here. I read the one or two page summary, but didn't go into the internet draft and also not into any discussion. There might be some operational consequences. I assume this is a record that will live at the zone apex, and some consideration might be due. And then I don't know whether that happens during the discussion in the IETF or would be special for the root zone. But as Jim said, the root zone is always special or perceived as special. So there's some operational part to be looked at. Also, just because it's an IETF standard or proposed standard doesn't mean it has to be deployed instantly. So there needed to be a reason and an explanation who the actual user of this is, because the distribution of the root zone between the root zone distribution function and the root server operators is already secured, and that's going side by side. Not saying it shouldn't happen, but just things that need to be on the communications side and should be investigated a bit or researched a bit. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Peter. Howard, go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Oh, I can hear you now.
Okay, thank you. The point for me is not so much on the actual root zone content, because you know one digest I don't think is going to hurt anybody. With the appropriate RFC status caveats behind me, but to me, as important as pulling RSOs is really going to be pulling what I would call the validation equivalent, right? I'm not exactly sure what that would be called, but because, for example, if just because the record is in there, if there are folks that want to propagate a root zone of their tailoring, they could simply remove that record and move on. And if no one's, you know, if the tree is falling in the forest but no one's hearing it, then I'm not sure it matters. I'm a little I think it's going to depend a lot on the uptake of that from the side of those checking, and then of course then there's the what happens if your stub resolver or whoever happens to be hitting this, you know, in a hyperlocal scene, whoever's hitting that hyperlocal root zone server is going to is going to be trustworthy or not. So and maybe trust is a whole nother issue with that.
Yeah, thanks, Howard. So since the zone is signed and the record is signed and all that, a consumer of a zone with this record can detect if it was removed upstream, for example. So that's one way to address that. But I take your point about implementation of the validation side. This would need some support in recursive name server software like bind and unbound and not and so on. Although that's not the only way that you can use this record. You can, there are other ways that you can perform validations, but the expectation is that it gets built into recursive name server software. Jeff?
Yeah, hi. Look, in responding to Howard a bit there, to my mind, the point of this is actually the hyperlocal operator. Clients of that recursive resolver who send it, queries through that can always use DNSSEC to ensure that what they're getting is, the genuine article. And this zone MD doesn't change that. But the hyperlocal operator may or may not get this directly from a genuine root server and may be confused by a man in the middle and start serving dud data. Now, clients wouldn't be unable to validate that. That's true. But what it would do is effectively is negate the utility of that hyperlocal service because it's been given trash and doesn't know it. So the issue is when I get a copy of the root zone and wish to serve it, is that the real deal? And individual DNSSEC queries would help if I effectively walk through the entire zone with individual queries, a bit like aggressive NSSEC caching, but that's crazy. This one allows me to get a copy of the root zone without necessarily being sure where I got it from, man in the middle, whatever, and being able to authenticate using the root key that this is a genuine, complete, authentic copy of the root zone. What that means is that the service that I then push through my recursive part of the resolver facing clients, to the best of my belief, will have integrity. And I think that's of value. It doesn't solve all the security problems in the world, of course not. But it certainly helps the hyperlocal operator to ensure that no matter how they loaded up this copy of the root zone, what they're serving from it, the actual, this is, you know, the contents is authentic and real. So to my mind, that is an incremental improvement on where we are now. It is efficient and it is worth pursuing. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Jeff. That's a good summary. So one question I have for the committee is, you know, since we haven't really taken on work like this before, I would like some input on what do you see as coming out of this? Do we need a, you know, like in other groups we have work parties? Do you see forming a work party around this, or writing a short document, a long document, doing, would RZERC want to do research, reach out to reserver operators and ask them these questions that we have about support? So I'm kind of wondering, I want to gauge a level of work that you think is before us here. Any thoughts? Maybe, and it's okay if you don't know the answer now, we can come back to that on a later call or on the list. Jeff?
I think this is more a matter of principle and architecture rather than mechanics and detail. You know, the IETF is grinding through message digests for DNS zones, and one would expect out of them some consideration of all zones, including the root, in terms of the process of making that into an RFC. One would expect reasonably from the root server operators a relatively exhaustive process of ensuring that they're able to answer requests for a new RR type were it to be approved, so that the mechanics of serving it is again other people's problems. The principle and the sort of the major issue here for me is actually the introduction of a new resource record type into the root zone. And to my mind, it's that sort of single thing that is merits the substance of the outcome of this particular group, because that I think is the evolutionary step. This document is not far away from that, but it probably deserves some further consideration as to the barriers into introducing a new resource record type, the risks and opportunities, you know, and an understanding of, well, what if we did it and no one recognized it? You know, that kind of issue. Analyzing that would be a useful piece of work that we could do. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you, Jeff. Kim?
Yeah, thanks, Duane. I guess one thing that's not clear to me is exactly the kind of form that this work would take at the end. Is it, do you have a clear sense of whether it would be, you know, in the form of here would be an explicit recommendation, like to the ICANN board, adopt this technology, or would it be like a set of requirements that should this technology or an approach like this be adopted, that here is a set of considerations that should be made in that adoption? I guess it's not entirely clear to me, you know, obviously there's different relationships here, exactly what form this should take and how that would sort of play into overall, you know, adoption. I mean, for the sake of argument, we could assume that everyone is on board in principle with this being implemented as a piece of work, but I'm trying to wrap my head around the order of events and where RZERC's role would sort of sit within sort of the adoption process from beginning to end. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, so mostly I have questions because I have the same questions you do. That's kind of what I was just asking. It's not clear to me, you know, if the output of this is, as you said, you know, maybe a short report with some recommendations that RZERC thinks this is a good idea and that the affected parties should proceed, or is it maybe more of a, you know, a longer document, like, you know, for example, this proposal here references work done by RSAC a couple of years ago. there was a work party that investigated the names of root servers, and there was a bunch of work done on setting up fake root zones signed different ways, named different ways, and understanding the size of responses. So, you know, to me, RZERC doesn't feel like the kind of committee that really does that kind of work, but maybe, I don't know. So I mostly have questions and not answers at this point. Peter?
Yeah, thanks, Duane. This goes back to my question, what the exact ask is. And again, I would like to offer my understanding is, I'd be with you, Duane, when you say that this is not the kind of committee that does this work. I would agree, it's RZERC's task to make sure that the work that needs to be done is done in the appropriate places, and or everybody who has a stake in this or has a say in this has had the chance to come to the table. And that would include the root server operators, of course. The IETF is in the game anyway. And then maybe the other constituencies that send people into the committee, or even people affected outside, like the currently unorganized coalition of all the hyperlocal operators, as but one example.
Mm-hmm. All right, thank you. Jim?
Thanks. I pretty much agree with what both Peter and Jeff had said. Perhaps a way forward might be to come up with an idea of what we think would need to be done. So we could perhaps say, we're considering this idea of doing zone ND for the root, and then send the equivalent of liaisons to all the other necessary affected parties, saying, here's what we understand the steps of this are going to be. Is that your perception of what you think needs to be done? What do you think about it, RSAC? Not in terms of the actual proposal, but what your role in this might be. Likewise for root server operators, possibly for IANA as well. You know, can send a letter to themselves. And maybe at some point also the board, because we're certainly not the ones who can make a final decision about this. And maybe something we have to figure out is who ultimately takes the decision about it, if this is to go ahead.
All right. Thanks. Jeff, go ahead, but I want to wrap this up so we have time to talk about the other topics. So last comment.
Yeah, I very quickly looked at the charter on the web, and it seems to me that what Jim and Peter had said is actually coordinates, or at least chimes in with what's on the web. We coordinate, we make sure that folk who are affected are aware, and they have the ability to consider this and make their own decisions. As to orchestrating this, liaison statements would work with almost everyone except the clients of a hyperlocal service, you know, who's running it. And in some ways, the Zone MD draft maybe takes on that responsibility in looking at a section called operational considerations, Duane, that talks about the operational issues around Zone MD and how it would help and what the risks are. And perhaps if one included that and used that IETF RFC channel as a way of hooking in the operator community, we would be there. The other way of doing this is to actually do a presentation through something like DNS OARC, where one gets a reasonable proportion of DNS operators into the room and uses that as a sounding board for the operational part of this, which to my mind is the only bit that's sort of obviously missing from all affected parties. So my incremental suggestion would be to take it to some operational fora as well, as part of this process of making everyone aware and have the ability to send feedback. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks. That's a good suggestion. For what it's worth, this I did present this to OARC, but it's been, I don't know, a year and a half, so could definitely do with an update.
I've forgotten you even did it, Duane.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I forgot
exactly
a long
time ago
what meeting it was, and I don't know if you were there, so. Okay. So unless there's any last minute comments on this, I want to move on to the other topic in our remaining time. Okay. The other proposal that I'd like us to consider is signing the rootservers.net zone. So this is something that has been suggested for a number of years in a number of forums. We've talked about it in RSAC. I believe it's been mentioned in SAC probably more than once. So you had a chance to look at this document. Hopefully, the gist of the issue or the rationale here is that although the root zone is signed, and although you can form a chain of trust from the root to any leaf node in the DNS that has such a chain, right? Since the rootservers.net zone is not signed, there are some potential attack scenarios or traffic hijacking scenarios to which the root, to which some people may consider the root to be vulnerable. So, for example, if you can convince a recursive name server to cache an incorrect IP address for a root server, that resolver may send some traffic to that wrong root server, but you still might get, you know, good valid answers. So it's essentially a kind of an interception attack. I apologize because I just realized that when we were previously talking about the ZoneMD, I referenced some other work that RSAC had done, and I'd gotten confused because this is the context for that other work that RSAC had done in understanding the size of priming responses for signed and unsigned zones and root zones where the root servers had different names. So that is certainly one of the considerations of signing the rootservers.net zone. There is an RFC that was published, I don't remember the number. An RFC came out a year or two ago that sort of updated the current thinking on priming queries, right? And in that, it says that when you do a priming query, you should set the DNSSEC OK bit, and so that you get DNSSEC signatures. And if the root servers.net zone were to become signed, those priming responses all of a sudden become a lot larger. So that's one consideration in this proposal. Can you scroll down a little bit, Danielle? Go to the figure. So the figure just shows the sort of how things are today, and the yellow or the gold shows data that's not currently signed, but could be signed. Another thing that again was, I believe, was called out in that other RSEC work, another consideration to signing the rootservers.net zone is that in order to build the chain of trust and, you know, to do validation between a root trust hanger and the rootservers.net data, you have the .net zone in between, right? So the need to have a DS record published in the net zone, and some people expressed concern that becomes a point for potential failures if the net zone is unavailable, or if that DS record is not correct, then that would be a factor. some other questions in this proposal get to whether or not current recursive implementations actually validate priming responses. So if the root servers.net zone were to become signed and the responses now have more signatures, what happens if those signatures don't validate? Do any recursive name servers actually check, or do they care? Do they stop working, and so on? Those are sort of, call them semi-unknowns at this point. Based on some research that I was able to do, it seems like some implementations will validate and others will not. Let's see, I believe that's basically it. So again, I'd like to open it up for discussion on whether or not, you know, the committee feels this is something that RZERC should, you know, take on his work, make recommendations on, or not. Open up for anyone. Go ahead. Jeff.
I was looking at the size of the DNS key responses to GTLD zones in the root, and over half of them have responses that are more than 1400 octets. And for V6, if the query is over V6, this becomes an amazingly big issue, because it forces even the priming query, if you're going to do this right, to go to TCP, because so many folk don't accept fragmented V6. So part of the sort of investigation that I think needs to happen here, Duane, is to understand how big these priming responses get and the consequences of heading over various well-known thresholds, you know, 512, 1280, 1500 in the overall response size, and the implications of the robustness of the root. Because to my mind, this is area that we really haven't explored technically.
The same questions you do. That's kind of what I was just asking. It's not clear to me, you know, if the output of this is, as you said, you know, maybe a short report with some recommendations that RZERC thinks this is a good idea and that the affected parties should proceed. Or is it maybe more of a, you know, a longer document, like, you know, for example, this proposal here references work done by RSAC a couple of years ago. There was a work party that investigated the names of root servers and